welcome to church service. Let's begin with a couple of songs.
For the first song, let's sing number 261. 261. What can wash away my sin, or what can make me pure within? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. I would like for the first verse to be a responsive, that the women sing the first part and the men sing nothing but the blood of Jesus, and then together we sing the refrain. That's for the first verse, and we'll try a key change for key change between the fourth and the fifth. Everybody sing melody first verse, and the women sing, what can I wash away my sin, the men, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
It is a blessing to be gathered in the house of the Lord again to worship our risen Savior and Lord. Repetition at times can become monotonous Sometimes it's used to drive a point. And this morning in the first song, I think we noticed that repetition of nothing but the blood of Jesus. It continued to drive a point that I think is a repetition used in a healthy way. And I enjoyed that singing. It's nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can cling to for our hope, for our salvation. At home in our family devotion, we started reading through the book of Revelation. Told the children, there's a lot of stuff we won't understand, but I think it's a good thing to be exposed to what the book of Revelation has for us. And I'd like to look at the first chapter, the encounter that Jesus or John had with Jesus. Before I read, just a few comments about earlier encounters of men with God and their responses when they met with God. In Exodus 3, we have the account where Moses, he sees the burning bush and he approaches it, and there's a voice saying, "Take your shoes off your feet." And when Moses realized it was the voice of God, says he hid his face. He was afraid. When Joshua met with the captain of the host of the Lord, says he fell on his face and worshiped. In Isaiah, when he sees God, his response is, "Woe is me. I am unclean. I am undone." And I think when we're in the presence of God, it brings a consciousness of our undoneness, of any sin in our lives. Woe is me. And later on, his lips were touched with a live coal, and he was cleansed. And then the Lord says, "Who will go for me?" And Isaiah's response is, "Here am I, send me." And I think that is a proper response when we encounter God. We see his greatness, our smallness, and we simply say, "Here I am. Use me however you want to." The Apostle Paul had a similar response in his encounter with God on the road to Damascus. And his response was, don't have the words written down now. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I think our greatest act of worship is simply to give ourselves as a living sacrifice and to walk in obedience to what God's instructions are. I'm not sure that there's a greater act of worship that we can have. A living sacrifice, walking in obedience to what God has for us. In Revelation 1, when it describes Jesus, it uses quite a bit of simile. He was dressed like, as. And so as we read through that, remember that. I'd like to start reading in verse 12. And as we come to the descriptive part of Jesus, I would invite you just to close your eyes and visualize what John saw when he met Jesus. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. This same one that is described here is the same Lord that we serve today. Here we have a picture of him coming in his gloriousness. And that is the one we serve. This same Jesus, the same Son of Man, Son of God. Some of these descriptions, I have a little hard time, you know, how actually was this what John saw? His hair, his head, white like wool, as white as snow. Then his eyes, as a flame of fire. And I think John just simply had to use words. He was limited in how he could describe it. I think it was an awesome sight that he saw that words could not do justice to, really. But it gives us some ideas of the gloriousness of our Lord. And we see John's response. He fell at his feet as dead. And so, as we come into the presence of God, what kind of response do we have? You know, if Jesus would appear in a physical form this morning, I'm not sure that we would have a lot of options other than to fall on our faces before him. I think that that typically is the response that we see in Scripture when people realize that they are meeting with God. There is a falling on their face. There is a worship that takes place. And so this morning, as we come into his presence, we also need reverence in our hearts. Holy and reverent is his name. As we come into his presence, there needs to be a willingness to walk in obedience to the instructions that he gives us. That is worship, to walk in obedience. As Romans 12 says, we give ourselves as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when they sacrificed animals, the animals didn't have a lot of options. They're dead. They're being burnt. They're helpless. God created us as creatures of choice, and we have that option of choosing to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And I think in choosing to do it, that is an act of worship, and it brings glory to our Lord. The three Hebrews, when they were put into the fiery furnace, afterwards Nebuchadnezzar referred to that and says, because they gave their bodies, they were willing to give their physical bodies as a sacrifice. And in the same way, we give ourselves as a living sacrifice to a living Lord and Savior. And so let's worship him this morning. Shall we kneel in prayer? Father in heaven, I just thank you that you are worthy of our worship. Thank you for Jesus, our mediator, our Savior, our Lord, Redeemer. He's worthy of our praise and worship. And Lord, this morning, as we come into your presence, we want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that you can use us however you want to. You tell us to do something, and we walk in obedience to the instructions that you give to us. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ, through his blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus that we can cling to this morning. Let's pray that you would bless the service, and may we worship in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.